This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I'm excited to be here today with Pastor Alec Zaccaroli of Burt Community Church. He is the pastor of Outward Ministries at BCC, and I have a personal connection with Alec and his family. They are actually our neighbors right across the street. And so I have two memories of meeting the Zaccarolis and meeting Alec. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you may have heard his wife's podcast episode, which is episode 13. That's Amy Zaccaroli. Beautiful testimony of her life as well. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. But my first memory is David and I had just moved into our house. We had no furniture or anything. We were just painting the walls and doing some construction and living in a hotel while we were getting the house ready. And Amy and Alec were the first neighbors that we met, and they were coming. They walk like every day in the neighborhood, probably multiple times a day. I don't know. They're very athletic. But they were walking by, going out for a walk, and David and I were, I don't know, in the front yard or something. And I don't recall what we said to one another. I think I may have made a comment about how I couldn't believe that we had actually gotten this house and that it was just so evident that this is where we were meant to be. And I was trying to not be too overly spiritual with these strangers that I hadn't met. And Amy and Alec were trying to not be too overly spiritual with me, I think. And so they made a comment back to me that was very much like, you know, well, something about like part of the plan or whatever. And David and I got in the car. We went to Home Depot and we were talking to one another. And I was like, they were really nice. He said, yeah. I said, do you think they're Christians? And he was like, I mean, I don't know. And I said, I don't know. There was just a vibe. I just kind of felt like this vibe, like maybe they're Christians. And he was like, yeah, we'll have to see, you know. So now we're here with Alec. Alec, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad I give off the Christian vibe.
Yeah,
at some
I know.
Level.
I yeah, mean, exactly.
Or maybe, I don't know.
I know. Outward Ministries. You were doing Outward Ministries at my mailbox that day.
That's true. That's true. Wow.
Yeah. Funny. And also in the lobby, apparently, when we met. But those were my very first connections with you. And I have, over the time that we've known your family, I've gotten to learn a little bit of your background and your story. But honestly, you and I have never sat down together to talk mm-hmm. about this. So I'm really excited to just dig into your faith journey today and to hear about what God has done in your life. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, sure. Thank you for having me. It's a real blessing to be here with you.
Yeah. All right. I want to know it all. Like, if you're willing to share, this is the time to do it. So why don't you kick off with sharing about your background? I want to know kind of what your background was, where you came from, and then how that led you to faith.
Okay, sure. Boy, where to start?
I know.
I mean, I was, there's some relevant parts of my background that are part of my faith story, but aren't going to be evident right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, I was born in Wisconsin, and when I was a year old, my dad got transferred to Johannesburg, South Africa. So the first 10 years of my life were in South Africa, so that was very formative for me. And then from there, we moved back to Connecticut, and I grew up and went to high school in Connecticut before coming to D.C. to go to school. But I didn't come to Christ until very late in my life. I mean,
and
relatively.
Quick question. The South Africa transfer had nothing to do with like the church or faith or
nope.
anything. That was just
nope.
business, right?
I always get that question.
Okay,
is your dad a missionary?
I bet, yeah.
No, he was an engineer with Train Corporation. So,
okay.
They had some work down there that
got it.
They transferred before.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, I've already revealed that you're the pastor of Outward Ministries,
mm-hmm.
so that's an interesting start for you to have spent 10 years in South Africa, and for, I mean, clearly God was cultivating something
yeah.
that, unbeknownst to us, right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, keep, no, it's amazing to watch,
yeah,
watch him work, you know?
Yeah, all right, keep it going.
So,
what else?
Yeah, so I went to school in D.C., and then moved out west for a little bit, went to law school, and I was a lawyer prior to becoming a pastor as a journalist before that, for about 20 years. So that's
okay.
kind of my vocational arc and my kind of, you know, where I grew up.
I mean, that's
kind of
significant though. Journalist, yeah. then lawyer. How many years were you a lawyer?
About 20.
20 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were working in D.C. as a lawyer.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I worked in big law, big law firms and using defense work and stuff like that.
Okay.
Litigation.
And was God or faith a part of your life at all during that 20 years of life that where you were engaged in the conversation with God?
Yes. So when did I become a lawyer? I came to faith in 2000. No, in 19, yeah, it's 99. April of 1999 was the moment where I actually realized it. But, let me go back a little bit on that. I'd say my faith story growing up was, there's a Julian Barnes quote he's a pretty famous atheist, but a quote I always use, which is, he says, "I don't believe in God, but I miss him." And that that kind of characterized my growing up. I didn't believe in God. We went to church as kids. My parents attended churches, but we really didn't. It was more just a, Christmas, Easter kind of, relationship. It was.
And was that South Africa and Connecticut that you went to church for, like, holidays and stuff?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And my mom would go, but she was never, a solid believer, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up exposed to church, but not believing in God. Agnostic is probably not quite true, because I think of agnostics as people who just don't care, really. It could be one way or the other. And I guess I was kind of that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had this strong sense of, wow, I wish it was true.
Mm.
I wish it was,
your mind, but in your subconscious.
Yeah. It was almost like that's too good to be true, kind of a sense to it. And God was, pulling on my heart. When I was in high school, I went on an Emmaus retreat with a church. It was a Catholic church, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And just was overwhelmed by the experience. But, even in that, I didn't come to a saving faith. I was I was so close, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went off to college and, at that point, just was interested in my life and my writing and my, I wanted to be a journalist and just those other things.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout my growing up, I just didn't really put God as a high priority.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought, I saw believers as exactly what they are, but, sheep. Dumb sheep.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that was more of a pejorative term. I mean, it was, So I started, I went through a rough time in my life. I went through a broken relationship and, which really, really, laid me out at one point where I literally was lying in bed in an apartment by myself, where I lived, and just looking at the ceiling and going like, yeah, I don't know if I want to go on.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling really broken.
There's depression and brokenness.
Yeah. And I remember that one night looking up at the ceiling, watching the fan go around and said, God, if you're here, if you're really there now, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was on my terms, but it was sort of starting to get that brokenness. And I went to bed, sleep that night, and woke up the next morning. It was a Sunday and there was a little church down the street. And I'm like, all right, I'll just go down there. I started going to this little church, a little Methodist church down the street from me, and just sitting in the back, first one out the door, last one, but that started me, started my journey of understanding that I needed something much deeper.
Hmm.
So that's when,
And you were early career at this point? Were you out of college?
I was a journalist at that point.
You were a journalist.
Yeah,
okay.
I was out of college early. Yeah. I was in my, mid-20s or so.
Right.
20.
Okay.
And that's when I started working at BNA, where Amy worked. That's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
We met on the job. She was a journalist too. And we were friends, and then we started dating. And so that my relationship with her was formative in it as well, because as we were, getting to know each other, she would, I knew she was Christian because I knew she went to church. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I would start talking to her about why do you believe that? And we had these long conversations. I remember walking through the hills up in, in Virginia and just saying, tell me about this. Why do you believe God? Why do you, and I was challenging her And that challenging her, she would later say, was kind of deepening her faith. Like, right. Oh, she would never defended it before. Yeah. And she's like, oh, wait a minute, what do I believe? You know?
Yeah.
So we had this little give and take. But I started going through this process of, I started getting more and more curious. And then started realizing, you know, that there's a lot of stuff in my life, the mistakes that I've made that I was just, you know, just trying to paper over or like make excuses for or just deny.
Pretend they weren't there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But they're all there. I mean, you know how it is. We're humanities. We're all onions. You know, you peel it away enough and you're going to get to that raw core. And so, we were, you know, I started actually going to church with her at this little Lutheran church, actually right down the street from here.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening and, you know, sitting in church and mostly it was just because I wanted to be with her, you know,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, I guess I got to do the church thing if I want to date her. I started going and even then, you know, it was interesting. I love the church. I mean, I love the pastor. He was awesome. But even the experience there was a little bit, I don't want to say deflating, but I do remember this one time where, you know, they're standing up, they're reading the Apostles' Creed, and I'm reading the Apostles' Creed. This was a pretty formative moment. And I'm looking at these words on this page, you know, I believe in God the Father Almighty, you know, creator of heaven and earth. I'm just going through all these things, and I'm looking around, and these people sort of just reading it, but just rotely.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be critical. I think it's just people were kind of like, you know, they've been doing this so much. And,
right.
But I had this moment of like, these words are very profound.
Yes.
If you guys believe this, why doesn't you look like it? Like, come on, what's going on?
Why don't you look like this is something that is pretty earth shattering.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. And as I started reading the words, I'm like, what does it mean to believe this? You know, what does it mean to believe this? So anyway, that was sort of, I mean, it's a little fuzzy to me now because I really didn't come to a realization of the moment, I think, where I gave up all my inhibitions to Jesus until a little later in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, I do remember the moment where, you know, Amy and I were married and she was about 6 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. With our daughter, Sophie. And we were sitting on the back deck. It was an April afternoon, I think. And where we were living at the time, it was a beautiful night. And I just looked at her and I mean, it was just, she was radiating, you know, she's beautiful, of course, and shy and just like radiating this beauty with my child, you know, in her womb.
Mm.
And I just looked at her and I was just like, literally, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
How did I ever deserve this after everything that I've been and the person I've done?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just got this, like, for the first time in my life, overwhelming sense of God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, I think I just hit the knees that moment and said, oh, I give up. You got me. You know, it was just a moment where it was through his grace and his mercy and his, you know, and he said, stop making excuses. Mm. Stop denying it. Just confess to me all those things that you're holding on to, let them go, put them at my feet, and we're going to start this whole thing over again. And you're going to start it over again tomorrow because you're going to probably mess up today, you know, that circle. But like, but it was just like, you can let go of all that stuff. I mean, I love you that much. And so that really was the moment when I came to faith, and it was it was by his grace
right there on your porch. With your wife. Wow. Guys, I am like fighting back tears so hard right now. That was beautiful. I mean, what a beautiful picture of the beginning of your journey and God pursuing you and your heart being curious and longing for him. And then coming to the place where it was both a recognition of your own brokenness and an overwhelming sense of gratitude for his grace towards you that just caused you to just surrender into his presence and he saved your soul. Praise God. Wow. Mm. That is just such a beautiful story of beginning this faith journey with him. Thank you for sharing that. Well, I'm sure, I mean, there's so much life to talk about, right, since then, especially with everything I know you do in your role, which is both domestic and international here mm-hmm. at the church. But I do want to pause for just a second because I like to hear from people a big picture idea of God before you tell us the rest of some of the detailed experiences sure, or whatever. Sure. Okay. Because I find from that moment until now, you've been experiencing him, not just that moment, but way prior to that moment, as we can see in retrospect, but you've been experiencing him in very personal ways. And I'm just curious, what are the characteristics of God that really get your attention? You know, everybody, he's very multifaceted. People see him from so many different angles of himself, right? And experience him in that way. And so I'm just curious, what are the angles of God that are most prominent to you in your mind and in your heart?
Hmm. That's a tough question because of the magnitude of who he is. But
how do I pick one or two or three?
Sometimes he moves in our lives in different ways in different seasons, right?
So, okay, that's actually that's a good point. So let's say in this season right now, as we sit here right now, what are the facets of God that are really popping for you?
It's God is love.
Okay.
And I know that's easy. I mean, everybody says God is love, but he is absolute love. Mm. And he's relentless in his love. Mm. And so, you know, when I go back to that moment of my, of my finally, you know, just bowing down to him, it was such a moment of just grace and love. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I adore you. And for me growing up, I mean, you know, feeling loved, sometimes I didn't love myself.
Right.
You know, and I had a lot of struggles and shame and things like that. So, you know, I can't love myself. How can a God love me? And that was a big struggle for me. Like he's this holy, faraway God who's, you know, and that's the way a lot of people see God is this deistic God who, you know, is just kind of like the, you know, like the cop in the rearview mirror, you know, waiting to put the lights on and take you out and just experience his love. And so even in this season now, you know, he just keeps giving. And I'm going to try not to tear up when I say this, but I lost my mother in February and I was very close to my mother and she was just an absolutely spectacular, wonderful, beautiful woman. And she had a long, you know, it was a little bit of a battle with dementia the last couple of years. But she was with us enough to, you know, for her to know me and for me to know her. But growing up, you know, she used to take us to a place called Kruger Park in South Africa. It's a big game reserve. And we were there. And one time when we were there, you know, you'd self-drive and you go and try and see animals and stuff like that. And we went down this dirt road and came to this little clearing at the end. And we're sitting there with our windows rolled down. And we heard this chirping sound and we didn't know what it was. And I looked out the window and there was a little egg on the ground. And I said, you know, I was like six, you know, I'm like, I think it's the egg, Mom. And she's sort of like, yeah, sure, it's the egg. But then all of a sudden this pack of African wild dogs came running around the car.
Oh my.
These are very rare animals. I mean, you just don't see them that often. And they're just beautiful animals. And I had this moment like, oh my gosh, you know, and it was such a core element, you know, memory for me. And my mom and I went, you know, we bought a book about them and just did all this thing. So it was a very close moment for my mom. There's a point to this story, I promise. You know, I was on sabbatical just a few weeks ago. We took a 3-week sabbatical. The church blessed us to be able to do that, which was incredible. And Amy and I went to South Africa and we were in Cape Town for a couple of weeks, but then we went back to Kruger, specifically to the rest camp where, you know, it was my mom's favorite place. And I felt like, you know, I had to go back and see this place. And we were just kind of driving around, seeing stuff there. And it was like our last day, or second to last day. And we had seen earlier in the day an impala. It was a kill from a leopard that was hanging in a tree. So we saw it. We didn't see the leopard anywhere. So we're like, oh, well, you know, we'll come back and see if the leopard returns. So we're really setting out to find the leopard, right? And we come up and we come back later and the impala's gone and we don't see the leopard anywhere. And we're dry. And I'm like, well, let's drive down to those next trees and look in those trees because usually they're up in trees. We drive to this next set of trees down the street, the road a little bit, you know, and there's none there. And then there's another tree. There's, you know, and here I am on this kind of like, you know, quest like, yeah like
I'm the leopard.
Yeah. And I'm going, I know I'm not going to see the stupid leopard, but I can't give up on this. I just feel like, why God? And I'm like, you know, and Amy's just being so patient, like, okay, come on.
All right, we'll go find the leopard.
Yeah. Yeah. So like literally we go like 16 kilometers down, like keep going.
Wow. That's a long way.
Looking up in trees, you know, and there's no, you know, and there's one clump of trees up ahead. And I do this mental note. And I go, I had this moment where I was like, God, you have blessed us so immensely on this trip. You have shown us beauty in so many ways. And even just here in this game park with elephants and rhinos and lions and other, we saw all kinds of stuff. I'm like, you've given me so much. Like, this is crazy. I have enough, and you are enough, and I'm just so blessed. I just was feeling so blessed. Mm-hmm. And I turned to Amy, and I was just like, we're going to go to those trees, and that's where I'm going to turn around, because I just need a spot to make a decision, right?
You know?
And I'm like, God, and I was reflecting to her, like, God has blessed us. And she's like, yeah, when both of us in this whole trip were just like, why does he keep pouring out more and more love on us? And I got to those trees, and I'm about to turn around, and there's a truck up ahead. It's got a sign on the back that says filming, and there's a guy filming in there, and I'm like, what's he looking at? And we're like, oh, let's go, might as well go see, you know. And we pull up, and it's a pack of African wild dogs. And I had been looking for those. I've been to Kruger Park 6-7 times since we returned from South Africa. Every time I've looked for those, I've never seen them. And it was this moment where it was like full circle, like, you know, it was really a moment like, you will not stop topping off the love, God, will you? Right. You won't, like, I was good, and now you give me this, and how do I do this? And I know why you did it, because this is the year that Mom went, and you're showing me I was with you the entire time. So it was just a real palpable feeling of love, and, you know, and I've...
And presence.
Yeah. Yeah. So God... for me in this season is, yes, God is true. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is, he's all those things. But he is at his heart love. And if you can't, if that's not who he is to you, he can't be who he is to you. If that
and
makes sense.
I believe so many of those other characteristics of him come out of love, right? His faithfulness, his comfort, his peace, all of those things are pouring out of his love for us, right?
Yeah, so, that's his chesed.
And his grace. So that's amazing. And I love that that he was gracious to show you that it's an abundance. He gives and in an abundance that we can't hardly articulate. You know, it's just so impossible to really even articulate what kind of abundance he is. And especially because it doesn't mean that things are necessarily always feeling great, but he is in those moments of just overwhelm of beauty and wonder. He's even more. And also in those moments of struggle and strife and grief and brokenness, he's even more, right? And I think, that's a great story to kind of demonstrate how as we pursue more and more, he's like, no, I'm even more than that.
That's
amazing.
Let's go a little further down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know. Thank you for sharing about that. There's been a lot of life lived since you came to the Lord on your porch that day, and you've learned this reality of who God is, especially his love. Do you have any experiences, moments or times when you felt like God's presence or power was very evident to you? Is there anything you'd like to share with us about your journey along the way?
I've seen God's presence evidence, I would say most palpably in people. So maybe not specific experiences. But along the journey, you know, when I came to faith, I didn't have somebody sort of sit down with me and, hey, let's pray the sinner's prayer. In fact, I have a brother who walks with the Lord, and he was, you know, quietly, speaking into my life just by the way he lived and being gentle about it. So that was helpful. But I had, I kind of came to God. He came to me, but as I was going through sort of the shaping of my experience and what led me from, journalism to law to now being a pastor, there were some people in my life and some pretty profound, when I was early Christian, when I say profound, I mean like it's profound that God would use this person.
Right.
When I was early on a Christian, I was also beginning my law career, and I went as a young lawyer at this big firm, and just trying to get my traction there, mm-hmm. and it's such a it's a tough field to break into, yeah. and stuff like that.
It's a hard grind.
But there was another lawyer there who was handling a death penalty case. And said, "Yeah, I need some assistance with this if anybody's interested." And I took the file and I read through it, and it was a rape murder case. Mm. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is horrible! Like, this is a terrible, But then I kind of had this: if ever I'm going to challenge my faith, if I'm ever going to be able to be a good lawyer and represent, whoever needs it, because that's what you're supposed to do, maybe I need to take this on." And I took it on. But long story short, I mean, being the youngest guy, I was always the guy sent down to sit with the client, a guy named Bobby. So I'd be driving down, I'd go down to death row, and I had to sit and they put you in a cell with him and you sort of talk. He and I had started having a conversation, and I was like, how is it possible that you did what you did? And he basically, I was a very different person, but long story short, he had come to faith in prison.
Mm.
And this guy was one of the most, amazing believers I've ever.
Wow.
I mean, and so I would go down there, because as a lawyer, I could sit with him as long as I needed to face to face. That's the only that was the only people that could, but I'd sit with him to talk about his case, and he'd be like, "No, let's talk about Jesus. I want to talk to you." And we would just talk for hours on end. And
oh my goodness.
He had Josephus, the complete works of Josephus. And he gave those, and he would just go, he loved that book and he read through it. And so, so that was a profound influence in my life. It's not the big, the pastor up in the pulpit who's giving you no offense to pastors and pulpits. I am one occasionally, but it's the people we are like, wow, God, you're using that. So, yeah.
I'll say that to be true for me with this podcast, because, I came into the podcast thinking that this would be an incredible way to help facilitate stories of God's goodness and power and mercy on earth, being displayed, put on display, right? And I thought that was really the focus. I have been so floored at how much it has transformed my faith to sit across from people of faith telling me their faith journeys, that now when I face my own crisis, when I face my own doubt, when I face my own struggle, it is the people that I've encountered and their journey of faith, like Bobby for you, that is speaking truth in my mind. I'm remembering biblical truth that's been displayed and evidenced in their life is undergirding me in my hardest moments. And it's the reason why I've now become super enthusiastic about trying to get people to listen to the podcast and like listen to lots of episodes. It's not at all a self-promoting thing or a podcast promoting thing. It's because these stories have changed me and I want them to reach other people in the same way that they've reached me. So I completely believe that God uses those types of stories. I think the Bobby in prison scenario is a very dynamic one to reflect on, of how that story is something that sticks with you long term because you know that you've seen God.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've
absolutely
seen his transformational power.
I mean, I like to say that we are in the story, but the story's also in us. We are
that's
people.
Right.
We are and we are in a community, in a communal story.
Yeah.
But that redemptive story is also playing itself out in our own lives. And if we miss the connection through all of our study of that, then we're really missing the story.
Right. Well, we won't have time to really dig in deep with this today. But Alec is very involved in international missions. And so the stories that he has are not only of, people from his church or from his family or even from his career prior to being a pastor, but they're also from all over the world. Mm. And being able to see the lives of people transformed by the story of Jesus and then them living that story out as well in their own lives, and then seeing kind of how that just permeates through a community and through through culture and all sorts of other things as well. So if you're interested, maybe Alec, we can put something in the show notes for folks to be able to go and learn a little bit more about international work of the church or something. You can help me out with something that we could link for them to explore that further.
Absolutely.
As we wrap it up, I would love to know what kind of advice you might have. I mean, you've seen a lot of people over time that have either not known the Lord or known the Lord or been curious about the Lord, like you and I. You know, both my story is very similar about this curiosity about the Lord before I came to know mm-hmm. him. And I want to know if there's someone listening today who is curious like you were, or maybe they're struggling to believe like you were at one point, or more agnostic like you had mentioned, what advice would you give to them?
Well, I remember, you know, I got hung up a lot of times on some of the elements of the story that just didn't seem believable to me. Like the creation story, for instance, or some of the other things, or the flood, or, you know, I mean, this guy killing 10,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey, or, you know, that kind mm-hmm, of stuff.
Right.
Which are all true, but so what I didn't realize was I wasn't focusing on Jesus. And so I had to get into that relationship with God and understanding who he is and who he is, you know, before I processed all that other stuff. So I would say, you know, suspend disbelief. Mm. And there are some people who say, I cannot suspend disbelief, but you can just stop worrying about it having to be logically true for you. And I'm not saying it isn't and can't be made that way, but suspend that belief for a little bit and just allow yourself to imagine that the creator of all things actually created you and loves you and has your back if you let him. How good does that feel? Mm. And if it feels too good to be true, feel it anyway. Mm-hmm. But just give him a chance, because the Spirit will work in our lives. I mean, mm-hmm. he's unrelenting in terms of, you know, of that. And so, you know, I suppose that's might be what I would say. I don't
suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
Give it a chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like just, instead of fighting it,
right.
Give it a chance to impact you, to come in and see what it does. Right.
Yeah.
Whenever you allow the gift of faith to take root in your heart, and
yeah.
then just absolutely amazing things happen through faith. So
yeah.
I appreciate that advice. Thanks so much,
yeah.
Alec. This has been a great conversation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.